Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
We have a 911. Armed robbery in progress. See surplus store, corner People's Drive, North 24th Street.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Cop Shop with FPD. I'm your host, Chief Steve Hebby. With me, as always, the able Shanice Gonzalez.
Hi, Chief. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Are you all set for today's show?
I am all set.
Hard to believe we are already to the end of August.
Yes.
The year has gone fast.
It has.
School is back in session. Weather's cooling off. It was actually like 70, 73 a couple of days ago when the rain front came through.
Yeah.
So way less temperature. So fall is in the air. Football's on the horizon. And we're kicking off our last summer show here on the Cop Shop. So, Shanice, you've got a bunch of questions and topics for us today that we thought we'd go through.
I figured we could talk about the RTCC. Before I joined the department, I had no idea what it was. It was my very first walk through the department that I even knew it was a thing. I've seen the cameras on the intersections. I just figured that they were cameras for the city. I didn't really know the extent of all of it. So I compiled a list of questions that you kind of answer and go in depth and describe what the RTCC is.
Okay.
So what is the purpose of the RTCC and how did it start?
So RTCC is Real-Time Crime Center. And the genesis of it is we took a tour of the Albuquerque PD in like 2017. We went down as a command staff, took the whole group down there. Gordon Eden was the chief down in Albuquerque. And we toured their real-time crime center and then sat in on a meeting that they have every day at that time where they'd talk about crime in their different districts and what they were trying to do to address it. And at that point, I was kind of looking for how we could be a little more organized. We were we're a smaller town. But I came from Anchorage, where we were a bigger town. We had districts similar to Albuquerque, and we would look at the crime in those individual districts. But here we're kind of a small city, and so we had at that time we were kind of lumping everything together as one. And so I was looking to break that down. So I was more focused, frankly, on that. But the real-time crime center component, which we did not have in Anchorage and which I'd never seen one, was just massively impressive. And of course, Albuquerque's got the resources. But they'd been doing it for years. They had cameras all over the place. They had partnerships with businesses in Albuquerque, where if they had a report of a robbery or a burglary, they had permission to go in and log in real time to those cameras so they could feed their officers up-to-date information about what was going on. So it was a major officer safety component. And then just as they're sitting around in the RTCC waiting on something like that to happen, you've got a call stack in Albuquerque, which we had in Anchorage. We don't tend to have a big one here, which has changed the way we do it versus Albuquerque. But they would go through the call stack and they would run various people that were in there to see if there was dangers. If they had a suicidal call, they'd even log into Facebook and their social media to see if there were threats being made there and feed that information to the officer. So I really fell in love with the ability to give our officers more information before they got into problems. And then at the same time, I was facing the reality of an expanding Riverwalk system for us, which is really the jewel of downtown Farmington. And while a jewel, also extremely hard to police for a modern city police force, because you're off in the woods, right? And that's what people want. They want to be back in the woods, walking around in the trails. That's all great. Makes it very hard to police, makes it hard to make it safe for everybody. But cameras would be a way that we could kind of extrapolate our presence out into the more remote areas and give both officers and investigators after the fact a chance to solve crime if we had something happen there. So, you know, we kind of rolled along from 2017 for a couple of years. I was waiting really until our staffing got to a spot where I thought I could pull officers off the street and begin this project. And finally, in 2019, I just kind of surrendered. You know, I was never going to have enough officers to do it. I just needed to do it. And so we started with two officers and a sergeant that we just pulled off the street. And we had six cameras in our initial grant, and we started deploying those cameras down on the Riverwalk. And that was kind of how this all got started.
How many cameras do you think that we have now?
Now we're about 140. And some of that goes to what you were saying. As we got into it, we didn't realize the parks already had cameras in some locations around the city. On the Riverwalk at times, down at Brookhaven or Brookside. So there were some cameras in existence, but nobody was really doing anything with those cameras. And they weren't good enough for police purposes. So we started to work with the other sections of the city, in particular traffic engineering, which goes to what you were talking about with the cameras on the streetlights. So they did exist, and they were so that parks or so that street maintenance could log in when they saw a street light was out, make sure, confirm that it was out, and then dispatch a unit out there to fix it. Well, we worked with them, piggybacked on top of them. They still have the cameras for their needs, but we got better cameras that then allow us to get the license plates and get the stuff we need for prosecutions.
And the technology really is amazing. I was watching a KRQE news story a couple months back, but they were talking about Albuquerque's cameras are actually in the schools, and they can detect like shots fired, and they can tell the caliber of it. And we don't have anything like that, but do we have them in the schools?
So we don't as a department, or really as a city, but the school district does. And so we have partnered with the school district that in the event that there's some incident of a significant nature in the schools, then we can tap in live into their cameras. And so we've actually used that then in some of our trainings for mass shootings in a school, is having officers go through the school without the cameras, or the next phase would be having officers being directed by real-time crime center staff that are watching where the suspect is going and what he's doing, and directing officers quickly there. And the reaction time is so much faster with that kind of additional information. Really kind of validated everything that we've started and hoped for when we started it. So we do have, and I think the school district has hundreds of cameras, I want to say over 400, that we can tap into when they have an incident.
That's amazing. How does the RTCC operate? Can you provide an overview of its structure and functions?
So with the things that we talked about, we started with six cameras on a pilot project, but quickly obtained grants that then allowed us to piggyback with both parks and with street maintenance to start putting in better quality cameras. And that led us to, we're at 120 or more. We eventually then contracted with a vendor, Flock, that has license plate readers up. So we've got about 20 license plate readers in various parts around the city, obviously on the ingress and egress points throughout the city, that allow us to see when suspects are coming in or a stolen vehicle hits one of those and alerts, and then the police can kind of vector over there to get them. We started with the two officers. We expanded eventually to, we've got four civilians, and we're in the process of hiring a civilian supervisor. So again, our sworn officer numbers continue to be one of our biggest challenges. Just unfortunately, since July of 2020, we really have struggled to get and keep bodies. So we're civilianizing the real-time crime center, sending the officers back to the street that started it, and hiring civilians. So we're going to wind up with four civilians and a supervisor. And one of those civilian positions is actually co-funded with Bloomfield Police Department. So City of Bloomfield has some cameras, which we are now going to monitor for them. So they didn't really have a real-time crime center that would give them actual up-to-date information while it was going on. They could use the cameras on the back end to investigate crimes, which they were doing. But they had the foresight to kind of follow us on having cameras, but just weren't going to have the staffing to do anything. So they contracted with us. They're paying for half a position. We're paying for half a position. That expands our coverage with the RTCC. Eventually, what we'd like to have is probably 20 hours. If I could go from up till like 1 o'clock in the morning and then start again at 5 in the morning, that would be great. 24/7 maybe, ideal, but I don't know that we've got enough business yet to justify that. But this partnership with Bloomfield really opens up the door for possibilities.
What type of crimes or incidences does the RTCC monitor and respond to?
Really all kinds. So one of your most common ones, really, that the officers use is your typical traffic crash. Both drivers will think that they had the red or the green light. And it's not that they're not sincere about it. Obviously, you didn't mean to drive through an intersection and get into a collision. So you thought you had a green light. But what people think versus what the cameras actually show is the status. It clears everything up, right? And we're able to issue the citation to the correct person. We're skipping all the court drama that goes with two people who sincerely believe they're in the right. So that's one of the most common, is just that. But from traffic then gets you into DWIs. And we've had all manner of other things that we get into. So really all types of crimes, from stolen vehicles to a homicide suspect.
What technologies and tools are utilized within the RTCC?
Well, a variety. So we have cameras. We really have two predominant different types of cameras. One's a pan and tilt camera system where we actually can control it and direct it in. We want to watch a certain thing that's going on at an intersection. The other one is a 360 camera that is actually a series of multiple cameras in a circle around on top of a pole that gives us 360 coverage. And you'll see some of those even in the parks. We've got some of those. And then the last significant one really is the license plate readers, which have been just a boon for us, really assisted us in recovering stolen vehicles much more timely, looking for wanted subjects that are fleeing in certain vehicles. So we've had good success with really all three of those.
Can you explain the process of data collection and analysis within the RTCC?
You know, it's a little bit like I described. We've got two ways predominantly of doing it. One, we've got people there a fair amount of the time. Obviously, with like I'm talking about trying to expand it to get us to 20 to 24 hours of coverage, but we don't have somebody sitting there all the time. When they're there, then officers can call in, hey, you know, I need the video footage from this intersection, and we can get it. Or they're listening to the radio, and they know there's a school shooting or something going on. They can tap right in and actively, while the incident's unfolding, be a part of it. Or the second way is something happens and we didn't have anybody there, and we can go back then, we come in the next day, and hey, I need the video footage from this location, and our detectives are asking for it, or our officers, and the RTCC staff will pull that footage and provide that. So the fact that we aren't live monitoring it doesn't mean that we aren't still recording it and can't still get the data later on to help us.
And what was crazy about that surprised me was it almost plays a role like dispatch. So the operators can be called in the middle of the night when something happens, like when Officer Barreto got shot, they showed up to the RTCC and then they instantly started working. But it's a lot of communication between dispatch and the officers, and then being able to live tell them what's happening.
Yes.
How does RTCC handle privacy and data protection concerns?
So we have very strict policies on the use of the cameras, like I was describing with, and we have a number of businesses that we've partnered with as well. We have MOUs with those, memorandums of understanding with them, that we won't use that camera unless they have X type of event going on, you know, an act of robbery or something like that. Same thing with the schools. We aren't just going in to log in to see what's going on in the schools. We only log into it when we're aware of a reported crisis happening in there. So the same thing is true in vehicles. You know, we're not zooming in to look at individual people. Frankly, we don't get anything out of that. So for the most part, the system is just operating. Cars are flowing. You're seeing traffic flow, kind of like you'd see on KOB in the morning. Here's traffic inbound to Albuquerque. That's really what our cameras are showing for the most part, until we get an incident, and then we're zooming in and we're looking harder at that incident.
Do you want to talk at all about like the search functions and how advanced that kind of technology is?
Yes. So we're still adding more stuff in. So we've contracted with a company called Fusus, which allows us to do all sorts of different things that we're still learning about. So we had the ATM that was knocked off last week. If you read that in the papers, somebody showed up in a stolen vehicle with a chain, rip the ATM out, steal the money out of it, leave the stolen vehicle and the ATM slot all banged up, and take off. we knew a description vaguely of the suspect vehicle. And so we put that into the system, hey, look for vehicles similar to this. And we came up with, really, it narrowed down to two vehicles. We weren't sure which one was which. We were working with the FBI. Eventually, we were able to find out, well, it was this one. So get rid of the second one. And this car, then, we could show, based on what the FBI had learned, we could show where that vehicle went within the city whenever they were within camera range, which is, you know, predominantly on your main arterials. So it was a real boon in that case to helping on the back end of it, the FBI do something with it. You know, it holds the potential that you could do something on the front end with it. You know, we could maybe live track a couple of different vehicles. In this case, that wasn't the way it played. But we're still learning all the features of this, and really its ability to blend in multiple different camera systems. So even your Ring doorbell system, if we had access to that, we could log into that real time, and Fusus would merge that with the other video systems that we've got. So the technology is really incredible. And honestly, if you think about it, if we can land a man on the moon, and I think the Russians actually struggled to do that this week, but if you can land a man on the moon, you know, probably we can blend all these different camera systems and provide officers with more real-time information.
So I did some research yesterday when I was compiling this list, and I think there's 123 agencies in the United States that have the RTCC. So it's pretty cool to be contributing to that number. But how is the RTCC funded? I know you talked about the grant. If you want to talk a little bit more in depth about that.
Incidentally, the Russians were trying to land a lunar module on the moon and crashed into the moon. It's kind of a big object. It's there. Boom, boom. It was an ugly day. For the most part, the funding has been grants, although we work it into our budget. So the first year we had like $275,000 grant that came through the county, which was mostly federal funding, I believe. And then the second year we had as much as $850,000, and that came more from the state. Again, grants coming down from the state to help us really get going on this program. Within New Mexico, I think we're the third. I think it's Albuquerque, Hobbs had one, which was why, you know, if Hobbs can do it, then we could do it. We're about the same size city. And then ours. Now, I know Rio Rancho is talking about having one down there, and they're in the infancy. And then, frankly, you know, what I think we're going to wind up with here is kind of a regional one. So we will wind up partnering with the county. We're partnering with Bloomfield. We'll see what Aztec wants to do. Theoretically, you could go to other places like Kirtland, Shiprock, Durango, anything that you would have the fiber necessary to beam the video back to the PD so that FPD could monitor those cameras for you. What I would like to see is that kind of a regional thing, because whether it's Durango, whether it's Shiprock, whether it's Kirtland, their criminals are our criminals, and their bad guys are our bad guys. And then for each one of those cities to develop their own center and then staff it, I mean, it's just not going to be possible. So if we can do it, and then combined, they're paying us something, we're hiring the people, we're running the center and taking care of all the hiring and firing of it, but we're giving you on the back end the ability to use cameras in your community and give you the data that our officers are getting. You know, what a boon for the whole Four Corners area. So, you know, I'm excited about the prospects of it. Whether it'll be me, you know, I think over the next decade, it'll be other chiefs building on top of this, and that to me is exciting.
What impacts has RTCC had on crime prevention and response in our town?
You know, I think it's still hard to say what the full impact is going to be. I know we are solving crimes that we would not have been able to solve previously. So, you know, there was a homicide that we assisted in that occurred in Bloomfield. We could show with our license plate readers that the suspect vehicle came into Farmington, and we could show where it went, and then we could show it leaving and the road that it took out. And so we gave that information to county deputies, even though it's Farmington and the county doesn't even have an RTCC. They know that we do. And so they reached out. We gave them the information. They were able to track the suspects down and make the arrest. In another case, which was fairly early on, We had a young kid, like 15 years old, that was threatening suicide, had run off into a remote area. And we had a very high powerful camera. Not all of our cameras are this, but this camera was very high powerful and an advantage point that we could beam it down, and RTCC was able to see him live where he was going off into a remote area. But they vectored officers there. By the time the officers got there, he was in the process of hanging himself. So actively would have been killing himself, and we were able to prevent that. So, you know, sometimes you'll hear that, you know, if we could just save one life, well, we've done that repeatedly with this system, and it's still in its infancy. We're still trying to figure out all that it could do.
And that's awesome. And it's placed in places where we're able to not require the personnel to be able to be in those areas, like Burke Park. We have them
right
along the rivers. We have them now at Farmington Lake. Where,
yes.
Where we're not having to hire the people to monitor those areas.
Yes. No. Which is, you know, we're trying to use technology to supplement personnel. So we know we're struggling to get personnel. The more that we can use technology to assist us in, the better everybody's going to be. We're still able to provide real safe areas without the bodies. So we are nearing the end. That went fast.
That did go fast.
Are you hoarse from all the talking?
Yes. Our 50-50.
She's the, yes, 50-50 show. So next time, I will ask the questions, and Shanice will give all the answers. How's that? Well, we'll see. For now, the mighty Green Bay Packers play tomorrow. That's Saturday afternoon, and they are against the Seahawks. Game 3 of the preseason, final one, and then we're getting ready for the regular season. Scott, the Bills. Are you excited?
Go Bills.
Go.
Yeah, always.
Are you excited?
Sure. Of course I am.
Or are you?
They got to do better than last week. But yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
I know. That's
pretty, yeah. Go Bills.
Thank you. So, Bills or Packers, one of the two. Shanice is going to have a team here very soon. Maybe we'll do picks for you to give you, you know, not that betting is legal, but we would give you some tips if you needed them. In any event, until next time, here on the Cop Shop, have a great weekend, and we'll see you.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.